and 11. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading from a different translation than normal. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the first time I've ever preached from that translation, but I felt it represented the Greek the best, and therefore I'll be reading from that. So let's give attention to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Let's listen to God's Word. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight, as we hear your word read and preached, we pray that we would be attentive hearers according to what it is, the very word of God, the oracles of Christ. And Lord, as your servant speaks forth your word, I pray that I would speak in light of what is actually taking place. The very word of God is going forth with power to your people. And so I pray that you would bless us this evening to these ends, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is an exciting time of year for a certain breed of people. Me and my family fall into this breed of people, but I know some of you in our ranks tonight fall into this special breed of people as well. It's a good time of year for Goodwill shoppers. If you're people who like finding treasures, the treasure hunt at Goodwill, it's a good time of year because at the end of the year, everyone is preparing for the gifts they're about to receive at Christmas time, and so they clean out their closets and they go through their homes and they get rid of everything in anticipation of what they're going to receive. And then at the beginning of the new year, everyone goes through their closets and through their home and gets rid of things in light of what they've received for Christmas. And if you are a Goodwill hunter at this time of year, you'll also stumble across what I always find to be rather odd: items that still have their tags on them and that are still in their packages. And every time I come across one of these, I wonder if people received them as a present at Christmas time, and instead of taking the effort to return the gift, they just go and drop them off at Goodwill and just donate it so as not to bother with asking the gifter for the receipt or whatever the situation is. But I always look upon that, and I'm always excited as a deal finder. Yes, a brand new item, but it's very strange. It's certainly not within the reason why people give gifts. I always wonder what the gifter would feel if they realized their gift ended up just donated back at Goodwill. Well, that's not the purpose of a gift, just to give it for sentimental sake. Oh, I gave a gift, great. And then it's discarded. No, a gift is given that it would be used. And it's also given for the sake of the honor of the giver. The giver wants the honor of giving a gift. Well, 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about a giver and gifts received. And it talks about it very much in that same manner, that we have a gift giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given gifts to his church, and he's given them not so that they could be discarded, not so that they could be ignored and not used, but gifts are given by Christ so that the gifts may be used for the sake of the church and for the honor and glory of the giver of those gifts. Well, that's Peter's point tonight, and that's our point this evening in the sermon, is that you are to glorify Christ by using the gifts you have been given in the church. Glorify Christ by using the gifts you've been given in the church. Well, that breaks apart into two sections in our sermon. First, use your gift. And secondly, it's given you by Christ for his glory. So first, use your gift, and secondly, it's given by Christ for His glory. Well, first, use your gift. Notice in verse 10, Peter says this very thing, use your gift to serve others. It's a simple command. It's logical and clear. If you've received a gift, use it. Now, who is he talking about? Who has received gifts? Well, we could draw the conclusion from verse 11. The two examples that he cites in verse 11, he uses the example of if anyone speaks, talking of preaching, and if anyone serves. I think most specifically thinking of service in the church as far as the diaconate. And so maybe we would draw the conclusion. Peter is saying, if you are an officer of the church, use your gift and do not squander them for the sake of the body of Christ. And so that then would have us concluding that Peter is communicating kind of a top-down, authoritative and authoritarian view of the gifts of the church. And if you're an officer of the church, therefore you shouldn't squander the gifts you've received. Well, it's certainly true that officers of the church shouldn't squander the gifts. But that's not who he's talking about who has been given gifts. Who's he talking about? Verse 10 says very clearly who has been given gifts. Based on the gift each one has received, use it. Literally, what he is saying there is everyone, every single person has received a gift in the church, and if you've received a gift, use it. So, the conclusion then is that if you are in Christ, you have received a gift. Therefore, use it. We could go to Ephesians chapter 4 and see that Christ has ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he has given gifts to men. And we are to use those gifts in the church. Now, that means no one can say, I have no place in the church. I have no role to serve Christ in the church. I don't fit in. There's no usefulness for me. No, if you are in Christ, if you are truly numbered among His sheep, that you have trusted in Him, you have been given a gift. You have a place and a role. Christ has equipped you for service in the church. Now, we could look at other portions in the Scriptures and see what types of gifts Peter has in mind here. All the variety of gifts and the various ones mentioned throughout the New Testament. But we don't have to go outside of verse 10 to see the nature of the gifts Peter is talking about. He says, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. He's speaking of a wide variety, all different types of gifts. It's a variety of grace that has been given. And so the church is pictured here as a mosaic of various skills and abilities and ways of contributing to the kingdom of Christ. That's a beautiful picture. And we could even look at the three men who are being ordained tonight, to Tom and Aaron and Bob, and say, look at the variety, even in those men, that Christ has equipped them for. And they're being added to two other deacons. So we could look at the five of those men and say, look at the varied nature that Christ has equipped the deacons for to be able to serve in that capacity. And that's only within the single gift of service. So this leads us then to the conclusion, to draw the conclusion that there is no place for envy in the church of Christ. There's no reason for us to look at another and say, I want that gift. There's no reason for anyone to be here tonight and to look at the three men who are being honored and ordained and installed and say, I wish I could receive that same place of honor. No, because while Christ may not have called you to that position and equipped you to that role, He has called you and He has equipped you and He has gifted you for another role. I don't know what that is. You and the Lord do. So whatever He has gifted you to do, you must do it. That's what Peter is saying. Do it. Use the gift that Christ has given you. And notice that he says that it is for the sake of others. Use it to serve others. This gift then is not for you. It's not for your glory and it's not for yourself. It's a gift to one another, to the blessing of the church. And so when it comes to the ministry of service, the gift of service, deacons, every deacon who is here tonight, I need you to hear this. You are examples to the rest of us to demonstrate what it means to serve Christ in that formal capacity in the role of service. Now, no pressure at all. No pressure whatsoever. But I mean that in all seriousness. No, there is, all seriousness, there is no pressure. Because, after all, we are just stewards of the gifts we've been given. And that leads us to our second portion, that Christ has given you a gift for His glory. Notice verse 10 says that you are to use your gift as good managers of the varied grace of God. We are just managers. We're just stewards. Some of your translations literally say stewards. We are stewards of the grace we've been given, the gift we've been entrusted with. And so the gift that you have received from Christ has no origin within you. You are not the originator of your gift. And so when you find yourself being a blessing to Christ's people in Christ's church, it is not because of you and something innate within you. There are chauvinistic men who describe themselves as God's gift to women. Well, there are no God's gifts to women, and also there are no God's gifts to His church as individuals. Brothers and sisters, we are all dispensable. As an individual, Jesus doesn't need us. But what He does is He equips us and gifts us and outfits us with His grace and with His gifting to use us as the instruments that He desires. And so therefore, there is no right to claim the gifting of the Lord for ourselves. It is from His hand. We are but stewards. Now, every time I think of that word steward, my mind is drawn to the third book in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. If you've read that book or if you've seen the movie, you know that the heroes who are journeying in their battle against evil come to the city of Gondor, the city of men, and they are met with Denethor, the steward of Gondor. He is not a king. He is a steward. Denethor, of course, is not a very good man, but he is a steward. And Gandalf even describes him this way. He says he is a powerful man, though he is not called king. However, Denethor ends up working against the purposes of the true and coming king and ends up undermining the kingdom that he is supposed to serve. He is a steward who is usurping the authority of the king. But you see, a king is the one who possesses the kingdom, and he merely allows the steward to exercise authority and oversee the kingdom. The king owns, the king possesses, and he merely allows the steward to look after it. So too with our king. He owns and possesses all of His grace and gifts and goodness, and He merely entrusts His church to look after them and use them. And so there is no place for us to claim the gift for ourselves, and therefore there is no place for us to claim glory for ourselves. And notice in verse 11 that this is exactly what Peter is saying as he lists the two examples that he speaks of. These two examples are just representative of all the variety of gifts. But he first cites preaching, and he says, if anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. So as a preacher is proclaiming God's word, he's not proclaiming his word. He's proclaiming the word of God. And as he speaks, he doesn't speak with his own authority, but he speaks on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory goes to Christ. And then notice the second gift that's spoken of. And if anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. So if someone speaks, it's God's word. If someone serves, it's God's strength. He does it all. He gets all the glory. It's all about Him. And His grace is merely being made obvious as we exercise those gifts. He's getting the glory. But this is wonderful news. It's wonderful news because you don't actually want any of the credit. Now, there's a portion of you. All of our sinful humanity wants the credit. But you really don't want the credit. You really don't want the glory, because if you receive the credit and the glory, then you would have to supply the strength as well. And you don't want to have to supply the strength. Notice in verse 11 that it says, if anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. Now here's a word of application and encouragement to you deacons. There will come a time when you men will want to throw in the towel. You will want to give up. And you will think, this is too difficult to work with needy people and to continue to give mercy. And it'll be tiring and exhausting work at points. But the good news is, it is not your strength. It's not about you, and it's not about your glory. And there will be times where you want a little bit more notoriety. I've been putting in all of this time and effort, and no one really sees all that I've done. But it's not about you. And it's all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, as you labor in the church of Christ, there come times when it's just so taxing that it would be easier for you to be uninvolved in the ministry of the church and to be a bench sitter in the kingdom of Christ and just ride the sidelines and come to church and just passively be fed and enjoy the benefits of the church without laboring and ministering in the church of Jesus Christ. But you do not serve, you do not labor in your own strength. And it is not your gift, and it is not for your glory. But if it was, then you could throw in the towel. You could give up and just ride the sidelines. Because you could say, well, I don't want this glory right now. And it is my gift, and forget about it. It's too hard. But you serve from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, when we are given a gift that we really appreciate, what do we do about that gift? If it's an article of clothing and you see the gift giver and you're wearing the gift, what do you do? Hey, look, I'm wearing the sweater that you got. And if it's a gift that you really appreciate, if it's a gift that was very costly and very special, you make sure that the person knows that it's still going to good use, don't you? You talk to them on the phone and you say, hey, I just wanted to remind you that I'm still using that thing you gave me. You didn't have to do that. I so appreciate that. You proclaim the goodness of the gift. And you continue to demonstrate that it is being used, especially if it's costly and special to you. Well, friends, what do the gifts of Christ's church cost the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he had to ascend on high and lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. And in order to ascend on high, he first had to die. What did the gifts of the church cost the Lord Jesus Christ? It cost him his life. And what did it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to raise up the three men that he has raised up tonight? It cost him his life. And what did it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to equip you, the church, with the variety of gifts that you have received? It cost him his life. And so may we never squander this precious gift that we have been entrusted because of the Lord Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension. But may we always count precious these gifts that he has purchased with his very life. So, brothers and sisters, use your gift and serve the church. And may I conclude in the way that Peter concludes this passage, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So glorify Christ by using the gift he has given you in the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has been victorious, and we see his victory depicted tonight, that we are receiving at least three new particularized gifts. Lord, you've equipped all of your people in the church to labor, and how we are thankful for the gifts that you have entrusted all of us with, all because of what Christ has done on our behalf. But specifically, Lord, we give thanks for the three men that you have gifted, that you are ordaining and installing tonight, that they might serve in the strength that you have given them. May it be so, even for all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.